Welcome to Bimmercast number 4040. It is December 8th. Technically, we'll say 9th because this is embargoed until the 9th. We are finally doing the BMW 1M show. This is the one that we've been waiting for quite some time. We've got a lot in store, so stay tuned. Welcome, Michael. We're back only a couple days after our last show to talk about the car that I think you and I have been waiting for really quite a while, and it's one of the most anticipated BMWs and M cars in many years.
Yeah, absolutely, and Comcast sucking isn't even keeping us from doing this show, apologize for the sound quality, but we have to do this because it's been what we've been waiting to talk about for God knows how long.
Absolutely. Michael, you're on Skype via the iPhone, and you don't sound too bad, and we're gonna go through this and sound quality be damned. As long as we can hear you, we're gonna continue on. But you're absolutely right. This is a show we've been wanting to do, we've been waiting to do for quite a long time. We've had a lot of inklings around this car. We've been told in hushed tones that this is a special car, that it's not going to be overrated. This is as good as you think it is. And we're starting to see some of those become tangible, some of those facts become tangible. So this is exciting because we can finally talk about all of this. Let's first off talk about how this thing looks.
I absolutely love it, and if this is the next generation of what M is going to be, I'm blown away, Gabe.
I completely agree. Now, aside from the orange color, which I do not like, I love orange, but as metallic, I think it's just a real shame because it does not work for me at all. Aside from that, I don't think I have a single complaint about this car, and I'm pretty critical of BMWs generally. I mean, I love the M3. Could have used wider fenders. Don't like the M6 at all. the E39 M5 and the E46 M3 were in a lot of respects kind of the pinnacles for me of M cars. And I've got to kind of take my hat off here and just say these guys did a hell of a job using a donor car, a 1 Series, which many people look at and, let's just say, don't love. They have created something that looks utterly aggressive and incredibly vulgar in all the best ways. In fact, I would say this is the most aggressive-looking M car since the original Z3 Coupe.
I would agree. They took a car with a droopy rocker panel and made it an animal.
Absolutely. And I think this is something that suits the car really well. You're going to see, we've got a couple articles going live on, in fact, they're already live on Bimmerfile, and one of those talks about the design in detail, and it's really amazing. You think about it, there isn't a lot BMW could do to the metal of the car, so what could they change? What could the M designers change? Front bumper, rear bumper, sill line, that's it.
Aside from the fenders.
They've also made the fenders absolutely insanely wide. With those changes, they have created a car that looks and feels much different than the 1 Series, and frankly looks like exactly what you said, an animal.
Yeah, it's quite amazing how much change they did, but in the grand scheme of things, they really didn't change all that much. And using the new technology with the wind tunnel and building these airfoils and such to decrease the drag. And
well, let's talk about that for a second. So the one of the most interesting things about, so there's a lot of unexpected parts of this car, and there's a lot of expected parts. One of the most unexpected is the what they call the air curtain, which has been designed into the front bumper. And it's that little slat or slit, if you will, out towards the front tires, extreme corner of that front bumper. On the in the original photos we took in at Oktoberfest, that was a faux vent, and a lot of us just assumed it would be a faux vent. To our surprise, BMW is actually creating what they call an air curtain out of that vent. And what it does is it actually channels air through that opening and through a duct above and in front of the tire. And it's something that we saw on the Vision Efficient Dynamics concept car last year. And this is the first production application of it.
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating how much wind tunnel testing they did on a car that's going to have low volume, to be honest with you. I'm kind of awestruck. And it's, you know, the M engineers went above and beyond, if you ask me, to take that technology from the Efficient Dynamics concept car and actually apply it to a production car. And it's not even like a production car that isn't being built yet. You know, like it's going through testing and they're doing it. They took a car that was already built and designed and did this to it.
Absolutely. And what it does is it improves airflow around the wheel and significantly reduces turbulence. So at high speed, the car should feel much, much more planted. This is, of course, a shorter wheelbase car than an M3, so any of that additional aero really helps here. And I completely agree. BMW did not need to do this. M did not need to do this. They did it because from what we've heard and what we can tell, this car was meant to be special, meant to be special in a lot of ways. And, you know, you look at the production allotment. From what we understand, they're just going to make a low volume throughout 2011. You know, they're not going to make a lot of these cars, and it's fascinating to see it, this technology on this kind of car.
Yeah, it's really cool. And the other thing that's really interesting to me is the actual footprint. This car is wide, short, and squat. You know, it's actually relatively the same length as the original, the E30 was, but this thing's 4 inches wider. So it's going to take turns like a beast.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is just incredible, really. Looking at the width, and let's get into some of the specifics here. The actual width of the car, and we're going to get to weight in just a second. I think weight is a huge story, and it deserves its own conversation, if you will. But this car is going to be 71 inches wide. That is 5 inches wider than the E30 M3, for those counting. But it is only about an inch longer. So it's about the same length as the E30 M3, but 5 inches wider.
It's
so
crazy.
Back to your point, this is a wide, short, squat car. Looking at the wheelbase, it is 3 inches longer than an 88 M3. So you've got a longer wheelbase than that E30, but it's about the same length. So all the dimensions look good. Compared to a 135, it is 2.1 inches wider. Not surprising. Half inch taller. We're just obviously larger tires and wheels. And it, of course, rides on that same wheelbase. The track is 2.8 inches wider up front and 2 inches wider in the rear. So it's quite interesting. It is the same width, the same rear track as the M3.
And yeah, and it's kind of interesting, Gabe, that, you know, all these things we've been saying since last August about how, you know, this part from this car was going to be in this, and no, it's exactly what we said. They're going to have to make a thing wider because they have to fit the M3 diff in there in the rear end, and have to make the front wider because they're going to use the M3 rack. And, you know, that's what happened. It's a Frankenstein of sorts, but they took the best of the M3 and tweaked it. And then they also made some upgrades with the rear suspension, being completely aluminum, including the dampers, which is just unreal.
So it's really interesting to me because, I mean, what we're talking about now is a suspension that is actually more advanced than the M3.
Yeah, you could say that, absolutely.
And so let's talk about what all this means. The 135i is, let's see, the 135i is 3,373 pounds. 3,373 pounds is the official weight. The official weight of the 1M, and we talked about this for quite a while, you add the M3 differential, the M3, all the M3 components to this car, 19-inch wheels, huge brakes. We fully expected this car to weigh no less than the 135i.
Certainly, yeah, absolutely. No, we were looking at a gain. We were truly looking at a gain. That rear diff is crazy.
Yeah, I was hoping for a nominal gain, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
What M has done with those aluminum dampers, with all the other aluminum work in this car, which is really kind of surprising, is they have created a car that actually weighs 3,200 pounds, 3,296 actually, almost 3,300 pounds. That is 77 pounds lighter than the 135i.
Yep, it's pretty substantial.
So let's talk about what that means in sort of the realm of M cars. Even that lightness is pretty impressive in that it makes this car the lightest 4-seat M car since the E36 M3.
Yes, it does. I didn't even think of it that way. That's pretty impressive. So yeah, it's even less girth, less mass than the E46.
Quite a bit, actually. And to be even more impressive, it's only 119 pounds heavier than the E36 M3.
Wow, and all that power.
Yeah, so you're talking about basically an attractive blonde in the passenger seat away from being an E36 M3.
Hmm.
Something to think about. So the 1M from a on paper standpoint looks pretty good. The suspension, as we talked about, is predominantly aluminum, if not all aluminum. One thing it doesn't feature, and it's something that we had talked about, we have sort of warned readers that don't believe the hype. We do not believe the 1M is going to feature carbon fiber. It just doesn't make sense from a cost perspective. And of course, with these photos, with this information, we see that it clearly does not feature carbon fiber. So there's no carbon fiber sunroof. I'm sorry.
There's no carbon fiber on the car at all.
There's no carbon fiber, period.
Yeah.
One thing it does do is it BMW sort of to help you help yourself, they will not allow you to get a sunroof on this car. So if you want to think of it as a 1M versus a 135 in the U.S., 135, of course, is a standard with the moonroof. So you are going to be about 35 pounds lighter than the 135i just because of that alone. And, of course, that is at the most crucial part of the car.
Well, then it does significantly add to helmet space when you do not have that stupid roof thing that goes back and forth that nobody uses and it breaks.
Absolutely. And here's the other thing about that. It is quite a bit less expensive. We don't have pricing yet, but we know that BMW made some choices to make sure that this car was not going to be exceedingly expensive. So it's a really nice sort of tip of the cap to making this car attainable for a lot of folks.
Yeah, and the other thing is that's kind of interesting about it is the motor. The engine.
Let's talk about that for a second. What do you think about this N54 variant?
Well, this N54 variant we've lucky enough to have driven the Z435 IS, and basically this is the same engine. And you know, sources have been hinting to me for God knows how long that Z4 almost was an M car.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided at the last minute not to market it as an M car and not put the diff in and all that. But so that motor in that car was originally, you know, it was originally worked on by M and retuned a little bit for this car.
So from our understanding, that engine is an M engine, more of an M engine than many people expected. This engine in the 130, I'm sorry, in the 1M, has been retuned though. We don't know exactly what has happened to it. We know that the horsepower rating is going to be 335, which is probably, that's really right around where we expected.
Yeah, I had money on 332, but yeah, 335 is right around where we expected, and I believe off the top of my head is about 369 foot-pounds under extra boost.
That's right. So basically, with it has a temporary torque peak of 369 foot-pounds, which of course gives it some fantastic acceleration. 332 foot-pound is what you normally get. And crucially here, redline is 7,000 RPM. Now, we've had a lot of people say that is the key differentiator between this and an M3. The M3 revs high. The previous generation M5 revs high. This is something that has been a hallmark of the M engine. And that's why the 1M isn't an M car or isn't a real M car. Or, you know, there's a lot of arguments out there. And a lot of it centers around that red line and of course, the thoroughness of the engine being an M product. I don't know about that yet. We have to drive the car before we can say anything around that.
Yeah, I would definitely agree that. But I also don't think that necessarily the red line makes or breaks anything. If your car is geared properly, the red line really has nothing to do with it.
Well, I think 7,000, I will say this, is serviceable. 7,000 is not 6,000. It's not 6,500. It's a little bit higher than that. And we know how great an engine the N54 is right now. And we can only imagine what this will actually be in the 1M. But let's get to one of the most important statistics we'll talk about tonight. And that is a 0-60 time. We know that BMW is traditionally quite conservative with their 0-60 times. For instance, the 135 has a 0-60 time of, I believe it's officially 5.1 seconds.
Yes.
We also know that Car and Driver and other magazines have had that had that number down into the high fours. I believe it's even lower than 4.9 in some cases.
Yeah, I think the lowest I've seen was 4.7. But
that's exactly what I'm thinking. It's a 4.7 that I've seen in some of the magazines. So it makes you take notice. It makes you sort of raise your eyebrows when you see that BMW, this historically conservative company, is rating the 1M at 0-60 in 4.7 seconds.
Yeah, it's kind of eye-opening. And, you know, not for nothing, Gabe, you and I both know under certain circumstances on certain highways in the U.S., when you take a Z435IS and an M3, the 35IS will out-accelerate the M3.
It's actually kind of shocking. You and I both know, and we may have found out at the same time that the Z435IS with the same engine has substantially more torque than the M3.
Yes.
And I think that's really one of the keys here. We know that the M3 has more power. Absolutely. We know it revs higher. But going on my experience with that Z435IS, this is an engine that is, frankly, faster in an everyday sort of way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you could ring this thing out on the street, you know, half cocked, if you will, and it's going to give you more performance than an M3. An M3, you really have to ring it out.
Now, some would say the M3, that's sort of the charm of the M3. And I would agree that, you know, the M3 has really a great attitude to it and a great vibe because you do have to work a little bit. But one of the interesting things about this car, the 1M, is we're being told by a lot of folks who've driven it and, of course, by people in the know that this is a car that will make you work for that perfect drive. So the M3 is so competent. The wheelbase is longer. It's so planted. You point and shoot, and you look like Schumacher. With the 1M, we're hearing that this is a car that's a little bit more like the E30. This is a car that requires a bit of finesse and, frankly, requires a bit of skill.
Yeah, it's not really going to be a point-and-shoot car in the sense of the M3. It's going to be a little less refined, I guess you could say, in mid-speed on a track. And it's going to allow you to do some great counter-steering and all that great stuff thanks to that diff. But it's going to be a car that is a driver's car first, and it's not going to be a car that you can pretend to be a driver. How's that?
Yeah, I think that's really fair, and I think part and parcel with that statement is the fact that the 1M is only available in a manual transmission.
Can't imagine why anyone would want anything else, but
Completely agree. And I have to say, every once in a while, I'll pop over to one of the forums and I'll just kind of see what people are saying about the 1M and kind of bite my tongue a little bit. And I'm blown away by the amount of people who must not know how to drive a manual transmission. That is my only guess, who are so utterly disappointed that this car is only available in a manual. Well, you know, I think it's time for the folks who like this car and are disappointed about that to maybe learn how to drive a manual. And I say that with all due respect. I learned to drive a manual in a BMW that I actually it was my car. I mean, I got it and I didn't know how to drive it, and I figured out how to drive it, and that was my introduction to the manual transmission. I was quite young, of course, but it was one of those things that I knew that I needed to know and needed to learn and wanted to have.
Yeah, and the thing is that this is the transmission from the M3. You know, basically, everything is going to be the same. The feel, the engagement, everything is going to be basically the same as the M3. Same with the steering rack. It's probably been tweaked a little bit. Boost is probably a little bit oriented a little bit differently, but they're both servotronic, so they're both variable rate with the steering boost.
Do you feel that this is so it says in the press release, it says servotronic. Is this the M3 rack?
I believe it's the M3 rack, just tweaked a little bit, yeah.
Okay.
Because with the 1 Series, they basically, 1 Series and 3 Series pretty much share componentry as far as that stuff goes anyway. Mm-hmm. So it was probably just a direct bolt up, but because the car's lighter and the track is a little different on the cars, mm-hmm. that I'm sure they had to tweak the boost pressures and things like that.
Well,
so,
it's interesting because I had expected. My understanding is that all the 1 Series actually have a I don't think it's electric steering, but it is not the standard in the 3 Series steering, and the coupe was the one that got that. So. It's steering will be very interesting to see. Of course, I can only imagine that M has created something that feels like an M product.
And with the same brakes as the M3, it's going to stop on a dime. I'm actually looking forward to just experiencing the brakes because they're designed for a much heavier car. So
that's a really good point. A lot of these components are, in fact, one of the components that I have to mention, and maybe it's time to turn to the interior of the car. Before we go back outside and look around a little bit, if you will, the shift knob. This, of course, is a manual transmission, and I fully expected to see an M3 shift knob or something like what we've seen on the M3s over the past few years. This is different. This is, and I'm uniquely qualified to know, that is a E46 ZHP shift knob.
Is that where they got that part from?
That is exactly what it is.
I could not figure out where it was from.
That is an E46 ZHP shift knob. I drive one every day. I know it. And it is a very unique shift knob. And I would say, and I'm actually really excited about this, it is by far and away the best shift knob I've ever felt in a BMW. I think the M3s are too tall. Same
right.
With the M5s. The standard shift knobs, especially the new ones, I don't like. They're too square. That is the best I've ever felt, period. And I am so glad they put it in this car. And I look at that as an example of the folks who put this car together. I looked at that and said, these people are like me. They know the parts in the BMW empire that were or are the best. They scoured that empire, and they put them in this car.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. And that's the reason why they left Alcantara off the damn seats.
Oh my God, completely agree. Let's talk about that. So I looked at these photos for the first time, and my mind was blown. So first off, it's black leather with orange stitching. I mean, orange stitching, love it. Love the idea of that. Steering wheel, normal. It's a normal sort of M-product steering wheel. And then you notice the Alcantara on the doors, on the interior trim. And my God, it's on the instrument panel.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, it's actually on the housing of the instrument panel. And one of the things that immediately hit me, and it's exactly what you just said, nowhere in that do I actually touch Alcantara and wear it out. It's just there for my pleasure, if you will.
Yeah, and they're pretty wise in the decision not to put it on the seats because, Gabe, as you know, it wears out really quickly.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've got a steering wheel hanging up in my garage that practically has a hole in it.
it provides a little bit extra friction when it's new, and then as time goes on, it's just crap.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a wise choice, and
they thought about that stuff because this car was a car that the designers designed for themselves.
I could not have said it better. That is when I look at this and I look at the designers and engineers behind it, that is exactly what they did, because it's choices that I would have made. I mean, frankly, down to the orange stitching, down to the ZHP gear knob. I mean, this is how I would have done it. And even in the press photos, basically no options but a navigation system and I think heated seats.
Yeah, and it's very the options list is very scarce.
Well, and that, frankly, that may be the only two options that we're going to have.
I believe so.
Next to color.
Yeah, color. And you got black sapphire, white, and Valencia orange, which, Gabe, I think we kind of broke that story, and everybody said there was going to be a blue. There's no blue.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's true. We've been talking about that for quite a while, and yeah, I have to fully admit that from the second that I saw that orange back in August, I was disappointed. My heart just sank a little bit.
See, I tend to like the orange, but I like things that are a little strange. So,
Again, if it was regular orange, if it was an orange you see in a Porsche or even Inca orange for that matter, or the orange that's on the M3 GTS, I would likely buy that car. Unfortunately, it has a metallic, and it just ends up looking bronze-ish in anything but direct sunlight.
Yeah, and I'm not a fan of Sonora, which was BMW's famous bronze color.
Right, right, and that it hits that a little bit. It's interesting, though. This is actually the same exact orange in the GTS with metallic flake in it. It is literally the same paint.
Interesting.
Yeah, you wouldn't expect that looking at it, but that is what Dr. Kai actually told me himself.
Yeah, I want to talk about Dr. Kai right there. Pretty smart move there, being the Stig.
Yeah.
In this staged last, that last teaser before the launch there.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people have I think, commented about the marketing launch of this car. A lot of people have been frustrated by it.
I swear I haven't said anything about it.
You've been vocal in your frustration about the way it's been launched. I will say there's been some high points. I think some of the videos have been great. I think this last video is obviously fantastic. I think they probably could have done without two of the three striptease moments and just showed us the car. But you know what? That is all going to be forgotten.
And I don't understand the launch date, to be honest with you, because this thing's not going on sale for a while. So, I mean, the fully undressed tease, as it were.
Well, my understanding, I mean, we're talking about a car that's going to start production in, what, March?
March.
So I've heard it's a European launch this spring. I've also heard it's actually going to be a U.S. Launch this summer, which would indicate that the U.S. cars aren't going to be built right away. And that's kind of interesting. I mean, as somebody who, and I've made no secret about it, has money down on a 1M, it's interesting to see. I mean, I wonder if they're going to do a batch of U.S. cars, one batch at a time.
Yeah, I'm not too sure on that. I heard May, but who knows? They'll probably be in showrooms like April 15th or something.
Yeah,
like that.
I think actually I'm kind of holding out hope that we're looking at like a late April time frame actually. But again, time will tell. I think some of the things we don't know yet, price, we don't know the price. We have some guesses though, and Michael, I'll start first. I'm gonna guess conservatively at like $49,800.
$49,800. I'm going $47,995.
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry, not 49. I totally messed that up. $44,800.
Oh, $44,800?
Yeah.
No, I think that's too low.
Really?
I think that's too low.
I think bone stock with no nav. I think you're talking essentially 45K.
Well, how much is a regular 135 these days? 38?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know.
I'm thinking you got to add at least 8,000 to 10,000 just for all the parts. I mean, the rims, the brakes. I mean, you couldn't even build this car, 36. I don't think, for 50.
It's yeah, 3650 so. For a. I'd say 10 grand.
Yeah, so 46. Yeah, mid 40s. Yeah, 40. I'd say 47.
Yeah.
47,995.
Yeah, I would be. I honestly would be surprised if the first two numbers were over 45. I mean, I think 44,8 is my hope. I've car and driver saying 43.
Wow.
Of course, car and driver didn't believe this car was going to exist. And
oh wait, that's right. They and then they got to drive it, didn't they?
Yeah, as late as this spring or early summer, they claimed quite steadfastly that this was going to be a 135 IS.
And that we were all crazy.
Yes, that's exactly it. Despite rumors, yeah. I believe it was the exact phrase they used.
Well, if they were intelligent, they'd know that the 135IS already exists in the BMW system, and it really is just the 135i because it comes standard with the M Sport kit. But that's a whole other story.
That is absolutely right. So, yeah, it's interesting to see this come about in the past. Oh gosh, I mean, it's happened quickly. I mean, it's happened very quickly.
18 months, 18-20 months. Yeah, it's been a pretty fast progression along the lines from the car we saw with the crazy psycho carbon fiber flares all the way through. It's been fun, and it's definitely been worth the wait. It's just get some seat time in it and see what it's really about. But I'm not expecting anything less than what M stands for now, and that is performance. Even though people want to say it stands for, you know, moms and marketing and all that, they're still the best cars in the price points they're in. I mean, even the X6 M won another Auto Build Sports Car SUV award.
You know, and I think about this car, and I mean, think about, you know, 40, let's just say 46 grand. What other cars are out there? I mean, an Audi
Evo?
TTRS. Is probably interesting competition, but you know, it's a smaller car inside wise. It's a front wheel drive bias car. It certainly doesn't have. It's a five cylinder. Certainly doesn't have the same look as this car. It's a very different concept, and I can't really dog it. I haven't driven both back to back yet, but it's a very different concept. I think the Evo is a completely different kind of car, frankly.
I'm just thinking price point. You know, what else could you hit?
What else is out there? I mean, that was a conversation that, again, I mean, I had with the folks at BMW and Dr. Kai back in August. I mean, what is really the competition here? I think it's a lot of used cars. I think it's used M3s. I think it's used Porsche Caymans. there's some cars out there in the used market that I think give this car a run for its money, but truly new cars, it's really tough to say. I mean, look at the 335IS. You know, that's actually more money than this car.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
And I would say, as much as I love that car, it has a lot less character
than this. I don't know if there's a car in BMW's lineup with as much character.
I don't think there's been one since the Z4 Coupe.
Yeah.
Or Z3 Coupe, I'm sorry.
I mean, unless you head to like Alpina, there's, you know, I almost feel like they took a notch out of Alpina with this car, but that's just with the styling and the aggressiveness, it feels very, I don't know, very custom almost, opposed to a mass produced product.
Yeah, no, I definitely hear you. I definitely agree. I think the design is just spot on. I mean, they really did a fantastic job.
Yeah, my only concern, Gabe, honestly, is that, you know, we're enthusiasts, you, I, the people that listen to us, read our site, we're all enthusiasts. We've all hyped up this car in our own way. We've all said that we'd do this if it had this, if we do that. You know, when we always talk about, whoa, we're going to buy something. It's just that I think people actually have to put their money where their mouth is so we don't get screwed out of the next generation. Because I'm getting a little tired of BMW's putting forth the effort and keeps bringing us these cars, and we don't buy them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, absolutely. I couldn't say more, and I'm definitely going to put my money where its mouth is. If it drives as I expected. So we will see. This is just the beginning of the story.
Yep.
So that is the 1M. Of course, we'll be talking a lot about this going forward as it gets close to launch. We're going to be at Detroit to see it in person. We're going to be talking to a few of the folks at BMW about it as well. Of course, look at check out Bimmerfile. We have the full story around the 1M. We have a design breakdown. We have an article around weight reduction, and of course, some discussion around that air curtain, which is pretty exciting as well. So, lots of stuff to come. But had to get this talk out of our system right away.
Absolutely.
All right. So, until then, here's the skit.
Michael, first.